For continuing singing, I had the wrong sheet of paper up here. You're going to get a different lesson than the one that I had originally told you I was going to preach. Thank you, brothers. Thank you for the prayer. Such a great prayer. He didn't leave out really too many people, so I thank him for that. I thank the song leader as well. And I thank all the brothers that are going to be worshiping, leading the worship, as well as the ladies who keep us on task and make sure that things are set up the way they should be. Appreciate you. As always, I'm just thankful to be here. Always thankful to be able to extend, you know, the will of the Lord, or just to talk about him. Even if I'm not sharing something new with you, I just like talking about God. So it's good, you know, it's good that there's people who want to hear about God still, and they come to the house of God to hear more about God. I don't want to take a lot of your time. This lesson is a little different than normal. I do get a lot of inspiration for lessons that I have. Always inspired because I always listen to something, or it may come from a song. Today's lesson comes from a devotional. I get daily devotionals sent to me. My oldest brother sends me devotions. Sometimes I don't have time to look at them, but this one really got my attention, and it talks about perseverance. And it's called Wearing the Badge of Perseverance. To wear the badge of perseverance. So I entitled it that, but of course I added a lot to it. That was just a devotional to get the train of thought thinking. So hopefully this lesson will be something that encourages you. You know, you may feel like you don't need encouragement. You may feel like you're good, you're selling fine, but you never know. You don't want to underestimate your adversary, all right? Because when you think you stand, that's when you shall fall. So we understand that perseverance is something that we need to get through this life. I mean, even if you're not a Christian, you have to persevere to get through this life. But if you are a child of God, you especially have to persevere. Not just through the obstacles of this life, but also the spiritual thoughts, right? Not just the physical, but the spiritual that we understand we wrestle with is the spiritual world. And there's a lot of things there that try to take us off our game, try to get us out the game, try to tell us that we're not even worthy to be in the game. And it will stop you, even the best of us, in your tracks. Sometimes you find yourself on the wrong track. But either way, all right, we are not too high and mighty. We are not too close to the Lord to feel like we don't need the extra motivation. Amen? And I believe that's why the Bible tells us that the Old Testament was written for our learning, so that through it we can have hope and perseverance. So I think it's important for us to continue to be encouraged by the lessons, by the stories, by the lives of others who lived before us. Let's go back to Acts chapter 14, and we're going to look at Paul briefly before we get into to our lesson. We're going to look into Paul. So in Acts chapter 14, which was read earlier, and I started reading at verse number 19. I would just go ahead and read that. And it says, "But some Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead." Let me just ask, has anybody been stoned before? All right, I'm not talking about, you know, you're in high school, you had some pennies thrown at you or something growing up. I don't know, but I'm talking about some stones, okay? Probably about the size of this thing right here. Sometimes even larger, all right? And I'm talking about where they actually connect. You know, me and my friends, we were some crazy, some crazy boys, I tell you. We had some apple trees. You remember, Mom, in Greenwood, there were apple trees around, and they were crab apples. And bees and things would be hanging around, and I was just so crazy. I would go play with the bees and things like that. But we would have crabapple fights where we, and you didn't know about this. I don't think she knew about this, but we would take them apples from the tree, and we would start throwing them at each other, seeing if we could bust one another upside the body, upside the head. I mean, we were going at it, and there were times when people got hit, and we would just start laughing. Of course, we would check to see if they're okay, and then once they get up, we just start laughing. But I'm talking about some crab apples, and they hurt. But when I think about some rocks, some solid rocks being thrown at me, I'm telling you, that's not a good day. You ask me after that, you know, how's your day going? I'm going to tell you it's horrible, terrible, right? especially if it connected so much, so many of them connected where they thought I was dead. Either he had to play dead or he was really out of it, all right, for a while. But anyway, they dragged Paul out, supposing that he was dead. All right, let's keep on reading. It says, but as the disciples stood around him, he rose up and entered into the city. And on the next day, he went out with Barnabas to Derbe. You see that? Do you see what I see? Paul just got stoned for preaching the gospel. All right. He's out for a while. I don't know how long he's out, but the disciples come around him. He gets up at some time. And it says the next day. It doesn't say, you know, he took a month's hiatus, so he, you know, had to go on vacation. It says the next day. What did he do? He went out. That's what I call perseverance. That's what I call endurance. That's what we're talking about today, all right? This is what we're talking about today. So he says that he rose up and entered into the city, and on the next day he went out with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the good news to that city, so I'm not lying, all right, he didn't just go out the next day and you know, go to the market and put on some bandages and lay down. He got up, went out, and he continued preaching the good news, the same good news that got him stoned in the first place. Tell me, would you do something like that? That's some good news out there. Maybe you heard something. Maybe you heard that, LeBron James won the championship, okay? And you go to another place and you start bragging about it, like, yeah, LeBron James and the Cavaliers won a championship. And they start throwing rocks at you. Are you going to learn your lesson? Are you going to get up and go to another place and say the same thing? Oh, yeah, LeBron and them won it. You're probably going to learn, shut up, keep your mouth shut, right? Because you don't want no more stones getting thrown your way. But Paul did not learn his lesson. All right? He got up. He persevered. And he said, I'm going to keep on preaching the good news, even if it causes me to get stoned. So he says, he preached the good news to that city and had made many disciples. And they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples. Do you see that? He went back to the place that he was stoned at. He went back to the place where they, no doubt, had a death sentence waiting for him. If they saw him again, they said, I thought you were dead. And I'm sure they would have started trying to stone him again. But he went back there and he confirmed the souls of the disciples. That means he made sure that they were doing well. You guys understand that? I'm making sure because in his prayer, he said, make sure, you know, he said, hey, preach it like even everybody can understand. So I'm making sure, right, that everybody understands this. So he confirmed the souls of the disciples and he exhorted them to continue in the faith and that through many afflictions or persecutions, we must enter into God's kingdom. Amen. Amen. So that's the basis, the foundation, all right, of this whole lesson. We're going to peruse some other verses, all right? But just understand that Paul's not going to tell them to do anything that he wouldn't do himself, all right? And he wouldn't encourage us to do anything that he wouldn't first do himself. And the good thing is, you know, we live in the place and a time, well, at least a place. I think there's some places where you still can't just freely teach the gospel without going into some physical hardships. And we have to be prayerful for those people because we sometimes forget living in America. But there's places where they still have to hide out and they still do church like they did in the first century in people's houses. They keep it on the low, but they're still making disciples. And we have to be prayerful for their efforts. But we live in a place where we can freely say, right, what we believe. We can freely talk about God. We can freely talk about the kingdom. We could go door to door if we wanted to and nobody could stop us. All they could do is close the door in our face, say, you know, I don't want to hear it, and we could go to the next one. But we're probably not even out there doing that. That's another lesson for another time, maybe even for another people. I'm sure you guys are probably out in the community making sure that the community knows you guys. But this is important to understand that Paul first, all right, he taught the gospel. He was stoned for the gospel. He got up the next day, and he kept on going. Right, and he kept on doing what he needed to do. So, what is perseverance? The definition defined is this: persistence in any endeavor. All right, any persistence in any endeavor or continued pursuit, persistence in an endeavor. Have you ever persisted in something that you wanted to do? Have you ever just kept going no matter what was in front of you? You probably weighed the cost, counted the cost, said, I want to get this degree. I want to get this house. I want to get this job. I want to do this for my family. Whatever it may be, you knew that there was going to be some obstacles. You knew that it probably wasn't going to be sweet. But you said, whatever I was going to get at the end of the day is going to be worth me going through this. Right? And that's why Jesus says we need to count the cost. Because if you don't count the cost, you'll find yourself being really excited about God, knowing what he done for you. But when you find out that he has to be your Lord and your Savior, you know, a lot of people want him to be your Savior. But when it comes to being Lord, if you don't count the cost, and if you don't understand what it takes, that Christianity is not for the faint of heart, you may lose before the battle even started, all right? So let's talk about this. Let me go to my phone here. And I want to point out three things first, all right? First thing I want to say is the Christian life is not only the beginning of the ways of God, but it also is a means of continuing in those ways as long as life lasts. It is with a Christian as it was with the great Napoleon. He said that conquest has made me what I am, and conquest must maintain me. So even under God, my dear beloved, in the Lord, conquest has made you what you are, and conquest must sustain you. Our motto must be aim higher. Our motto must be do better. Our motto must be I want to see where I can go, and I want God to take me there. We cannot feel like we have done with something that, you know, we've accomplished something and that we've won the championship already. I've listened to many basketball players after the interviews and in the playoffs, and they just had a really great game. They just destroyed the competition, maybe won by 40-something points. And the interview says, so what do you think? What do you think about this series? How's it going on? He says, we haven't done anything yet. We haven't done anything yet. Yes, we are one more step forward to our goal. But the reality is our competition is tough, and we may have to go on their home court. And we know that they have a crowd that's going to be rooting them on. And our enemy is strong. Therefore, we have to come even harder. Have you heard that? Maybe you all don't watch basketball, but I watch a lot of basketball, so that's one of the things I'm going to use today, illustrations. But it's true. They say that. They say, look, we haven't done anything yet, but our competition will get better. Therefore, they're saying, even though we perform good enough to beat the team by 40 points, we have to get better. Because we know they're going to be stronger. You see that? That's the same mentality we have to have in our spiritual lives, in our Christian lives, in our day-to-day lives. We have to know that, look, we have gone somewhere, and the Lord has built you somewhere, and he has given you a foundation to build on. But each and every day, we must wake up understanding that we can be better, we can do better, and that we owe it to the Lord to do better. We owe it to the Lord to do better. So let's look at some things here. Perseverance, therefore, is the target of all our spiritual enemies, all right? Every enemy we have spiritually is targeting at least one thing, and it is our perseverance. That is our perseverance. The world, let's look at the world. The world does not object to being a Christian for a time. If she can tempt you to quit your pilgrimage and settle down to trade with her vanity fair. You hear that? He says the world doesn't mind you being a Christian for a time. As long as it can stop you from your sojourn, let you rest and start to look at the Vanity Fair. Start to understand that, look, I'm going to be here for a while. You know, I'm going to, we say life is short, but it is sometime, right? If you're blessed enough, right, you live days and days and days, weeks and weeks and weeks, and you feel like, man, I've got time. Well, the world, all right, is aiming at your endurance, your perseverance, and it will soothe you, all right? The world is not going to come with no ugly facade on. It's going to come with a smooth facade, right? And it's going to slowly get you to say, got time, right? We got time to save souls later. We got time to talk about God later. It's really no urgency. What's the urgency, right? I mean, do my 9-to-5, come home, eat, chillax, and continue that day by day. And make sure I go to church on Sunday or even Wednesday. But guess what? If you have that mindset, the world has already won. The world has already won. It has already conquered you because, first of all, you're not going to do anything. You're not going. And the Lord says, go. So we must go. Also, the flesh. The flesh, well, we know how the flesh works. The flesh will seek to ensnare you and to prevent your pressing on to glory. Being a pilgrim is weary work and makes me wonder, am I always to be mortified? Am I never to be indulged? Can I not have at least a holiday from this constant warfare? You know, that's how the flesh will start thinking, right? And I'm talking about yourself. You start to think that way, like, man, whew, like today. It's hot in here, right? It's hot in here. Well, your mind starts saying, you know what, man? It's getting uncomfortable. I mean, can I at least have a week, you know, to just, you know, even when you're on vacation, hopefully you don't forget about the Lord. Even when you're on vacation, hopefully you don't forget that you can be doing the Lord's business while you're on vacation. I'm not saying you have to be out there door knocking, but I'm saying you could be contacting somebody and connecting them to Christ in one way or another, right? In one way or another, you can. You can just bring them closer to Christ. So any way, any shape, any form, the flesh can help you prevent, well, can help prevent you from doing your task. Amen? And then Satan. Satan will make many a fierce attack on your perseverance. It will be the target for all his arrows. He will strive to hinder you in service. He will strive to hinder you in your suffering. And he will strive to hinder you in your doctrinal sentiments, all right? So we're going to talk a little bit better about these. The first thing Satan does, he tries to hinder your service. He will insinuate that you are doing no good and that you need to rest. He will endeavor to make you weary. He will whisper, curse God and die, or he will attack your steadfastness. What is it? What is the good of being so zealous? Be quiet like the rest. Sleep as others do. And let your lamp go out like the foolish virgins. Or, as I said, he will start to whisper in your ear, why do you hold on to these doctrinal beliefs? Why? Sensible men are getting more liberal every day. They are removing the old landmarks. Therefore, you need to just fall in with the times. Those things that I just said, all right, I know you guys listen to those and you're like, all right. But you got to understand the subtleties in those things, in those messages, okay? Satan does not come and just boldly say those things. He whispers him, all right? I'll give you something that I definitely learned. We teach things like this, that God, which I believe, God will always have us in the hollow of his hands, right? As long as we don't leave him. And I've heard things like, if you're giving like you're supposed to give, you know, God's going to make sure that, you know, things are taken care of, rent's going to be paid, this, that, and the other, all right? But what if that doesn't happen? Because, see God knows that he promised that he's going to keep your rent paid all the time, right? And we have to understand that Satan is serious. And when I say that, I mean that, look at Job's life. Look at Job's life. I'm sure he was tithing like he was supposed to be tithing, right? I'm sure he was living the way he was supposed to be living. Well, the Bible tells us that. But Satan was allowed to take things from him. And God allowed it to happen. Yes, God, the same one who loves you, the same one who cares about you, the same one who we say, oh, you know, is good all the time. Guess what? He will allow some dark times. I'm talking about some tragedies to hit that could shake up your faith. If you're not looking for a way of escape. Do you understand what I'm saying here? I'm saying that even when you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that's when he strikes the hardest sometimes. That's when he tries to penetrate your weak point. That's when he starts to tell you, what is it worth it? What's worth it, all right? Maybe I need to do things a little different. Maybe God's way of doing this is not. Maybe I need to make subtle changes to this. You see what I mean? Because it's not getting me the smooth ride that I want. You hear what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying? Have you ever wanted that smooth ride? Have you wanted to be on cruise control? Well, I would say, listen, my whole life has been in pursuit of that pretty much. I want my life to go as smooth as possible. Almost all the time. But we have to understand, God will allow it to happen. And Satan will make sure it happens, all right? that certain things come in your life that you may not be ready for. That's why I tell people, I tell the youth that I talk to, I say, we need to harden ourselves. We need to harden ourselves, all right? Because you got to understand, you in America, your standards are so high. But what about the people in other places that are God's children? What if he started making us live like that, right? What if we had to really depend on him for our next meal, right? What if our refrigerator was no longer the refrigerator you see, right? What if we was just taken up in war and where we just had to depend on another country to feed us? You see what I'm saying? Then people will be like, I don't know about this God we serve. He got us, we don't even have toilets to sit on anymore. You see, I'm trying to make it real for us because that time can come. And we don't need to be waiting for that time to come then to throw our hands up and say, oh, what do we do? God wants tough Christians. Now, he wants us to depend on him, but he wants us to be hardened, all right? And he wants us to look for hardships because we understand through those hardships, we get closer to God, right? That's why we even talk about fasting sometimes. It's a scary thing, but fasting means you have to depend on the Lord, especially when they did it from food because they had to understand food is the most important source for them. You could go without anything else pretty much, but food, you have to depend on the Lord. When your stomach is telling you, I need, you have to say, all I need is the Lord. All I need is the Lord. Now, I've never tested myself in that regard to fast like that for that long, all right? I may have done it for a day or a couple of days, but even then, I only fasted from certain things, from certain foods. But the reality is, that's real Christianity. That's making it real. So let's look at some verses, all right, and then we'll be done. Some verses that just tell us or tell, you know, just motivate us, stimulate us. It's nothing that you don't know, but it will stimulate us. Let's look at what Paul told Timothy. Go to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse number 7. And if somebody gets that, one of our men can read it out.
I have
All right. Yes, yes. So Paul, looking back at his life, right, reflecting to a young man named Timothy, who was going to have to, he was pretty much just on the start of his, you know, his path where he was going to be ministering for Christ. And Paul had to tell him, look, man, fight the good fight of faith, right? He said, look, I did it. All right, I did it. So I'm telling you, you can do it too. All right. Satan's arrow is going to come your way. Satan's people are going to come your way. They may try to stone you. They may try to kill you. You may be in jail for some days. You may be in jail for some weeks. You may go without food. Paul said he went through these things, right? He said he went without food. He said he went without a place to be in sometimes, right? He was cold some nights, shivering some nights. So some people will say, well, that's God. He's an apostle of Christ, and God is letting him shiver, spend nights cold, spend nights, you know, hungry. See, so we got to understand the message that we are teaching is not that God just going to always make it sweet for us. It's not that, all right? The message is that no matter what, right, no matter what, we cling to him and he makes sure that it's going to be all right. That's what it's about. It's not that we're not going to go through problems and that our life is going to be affliction free. It's that he is with us through our afflictions, right? That he has never left us and that he will never forsake us. That's his promise. But it's not that we won't have the hard times, that maybe you won't spend some days saying, man, I just can't believe this. I cannot believe this is happening to me. Or why me? You know, loved ones may perish for reasons we just don't understand, right? I mean, we live in the city of Chicago, and I talk to a lot of young people who families and friends have been shot up. Some good, some not. Some kids didn't even grow up to be 4 years old getting shot, right? They could be in your family, and then you could just say, oh, Lord, right? What are you doing? Why is this happening? But we have to understand, this life is but a vapor. We are here for a short time, and God will let us understand this by reminders. He will remind us that that is the case. But anyway, Paul was telling him, look, just do what I've done, all right? Stay on the path. I have fought the good fight. I have stayed on the path. If I can do it, you can do it. That's what he's saying. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Actually, we'll read 3 through 7. 3 through 7, I'll read it. It says, I thank God whom I serve as my forefathers did with a pure conscience, how unceasing in my memory of you and my petitions, night and day longing to see you, remembering your tears that I may be filled with joy, having been reminded of the sincere faith that is in you, which lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. For this cause I remind you that you should stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of your hands. You know what? I'm sorry. I think that's 1 Timothy. Let me make sure I'm in the right one. I think 1 Timothy, let me see. I'm reading the first chapter, man. It is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm not for sure what I told you guys. I might have said 2 Timothy chapter 1, but it's 2 Timothy chapter 2, 3 through 7. Endure hardship. All right, so here Paul is going to give us three examples, right, from the world to show us how we need to just keep on persevering. And he's like, listen, the way they persevere, this is how we need to. And the first example he gives us is what? A soldier, right? Like a soldier in war. He says, you therefore endure hardship as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Keep on going. Verse number 4. Right. No soldier, and I'm sure I've said that before here, no soldier just entangles themselves. Like I said, it's not okay. It's okay to be concerned with the affairs of this world, but to be entangled with them, you see, where you care more about grabbing things of this world than you do about grabbing onto Christ. Where you just feel more about grabbing and chasing the things of this world, chasing your own pursuits, than to chase how many souls you can grab for Christ, you see? That's what's on my mind. How many can I grab? A preacher can get like this sometimes. They say, I baptized 30 people. I'm good for now, you know? And if a preacher could get like that, I'm sure the average Christian could get like that, right? You bring one soul to Christ, you're like, I did my thing for this year. The goal is how many can you do, right? How many will God allow you to get? That's what it's about. But he says, keep on reading. Yes, so he says, look, I'm not here to be living for my own kingdom. I'm here to be living for the kingdom of the Lord because I'm enlisted in his command. Therefore, what he tells me to go out and do, I can't come back without those kind of spoils, right? Especially if he told me I'm going to win the warfare. He says, go out and do what I told you to do and come back to me with what I told you to come back with. Keep on going. Verse number 5. And if the man also strives for mastery, keep going. All right, so he says, also, if anyone competes in athletics, so he's talking about, and I know your translator says masteries, but he's talking about in athletic affairs, those who are competing for, say, the Olympics or something, all right? He's saying, yeah, they do it for what? So they do it for a crown, but they are not crowned unless they compete by the rules. Keep on going. All right, so your version said in verse number 5, 6, I'm sorry, the husbandman. Yeah, and that means farmer. Correct. So first he tells us soldier. Then he goes on to athletics. And he says, look, athletics got to compete by the rules, all right? First of all, you got to know the rules, right? If you don't know the rules, you find yourself running outside of the course, right? Doing things that you shouldn't be doing, and you don't even know. Crowd calling you back in. What are you doing? You out there, you don't know what you're doing, right? They're throwing the ball the wrong way. You know that thing they do like this? What is that? Whatever they call it. Or the spear. Or jumping. I mean, you out there clowning. You don't even know what you're doing. He says no one does that. They find out what they're supposed to be doing, how they're supposed to do it, and they go out there to do it, right, to get that crown. And then last but not least, he says, like a farmer. We got to be patient and endure like a farmer. A farmer, he says, who labors must be the first to get the share of the crop. So a farmer, think about it. That crop don't come up in one day, 2 days, right? Don't come up in weeks. It comes up in sometimes takes months, right? But either way, they have to work and they have to wait. Work, wait. Work, wait. That don't work and it just come up instantly. And that's how we have to understand our life will be here sometimes. We keep working. We keep praying for people. We let God do some watering, right? We let God make the increase. We let other people do some watering. But we're planting seeds out there, and we just continue to do it. We continue to do it. We persist in that effort because God will cause an increase. And he says that we will, in that case, we will share in the crops. So he says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all things. So I'm telling you to do the same thing. Consider what Paul is saying here. And consider what that means to your life, personally. How does that affect your life? How does that change you right now? The way you lived before, this time. Just reading this again. You might have read it multiple times, but looking at it again, what can you change in your life? How can you change it? And will you let the Lord work in you to create that change? That's what I'm going to ask. Now, let's go to two more passages, and then I'll be done. Yeah, and I'll be done. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. It says, let us not be weary in doing good. Y'all know this, right? For we will reap in due season if we don't give up. That's what my translator says. If we don't give up. Basically, if we don't stop. So then, as we have opportunity, let's do what is good toward all men, and especially toward those who are of the household of faith. Remember, I was talking about our flesh? That's one way that that we get off our game, is we allow our flesh to tell us stuff. Well, our flesh will tell us, why are we going to treat every man good, right? Why are we going to do good to everybody, even our enemies, right? The ones who, I'm talking about the ones on your job that can't stand you, that really want to see you down. You see what I mean? I'm trying to make it real for you. The people maybe in your family, you know, that they see you coming and they turn around, go the other way. But if they could, they would do something to really hurt your life. All right? I'm talking about even in your family. All right? I'm trying to keep it real with you. Are there people who you can't stand? Where this command is hard to do. You see, where it's difficult to do. Where you just question, Lord, I don't know. You telling me to do good unto this person? What if they take that for weakness, right? What if they can take advantage of me, right? What if they step on me, right? See, those are the kind of things where the rubber meets the road that I like to talk about in everyday life. But he says, do good to all because we will reap in due season. Don't worry about, how it's going to affect this person right now. You will reap in due season. God promised it's going to happen. You need to just have faith in that. Watch for it. And you need to be watchful. Be like, Lord, I'm watching. I'm waiting for something to happen because I've been doing what you told me to do. And I know there's going to be a crop that grows from this. Amen? Amen. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 36. Hebrews chapter 10. In verse 36.
For ye have need of patience.
Yes.
That after ye have done the will of God, ye might receive the promise.
All right, he says, listen. He said it straight up, right? You need patience. You need patience, all right? Yeah, because you won't get what's promised if you don't exercise patience. But if you exercise patience and you keep on doing good, he says again, you will receive the promise, right? But you need patience. You're not going to do it. He says you need it without patience. You know how that verse says, without faith it is impossible to please God? Well, guess what? Without patience is just that sure. Without perseverance, without endurance, you will not get the promise. Just put it in yourself. Harden yourself. I'm going to do what it takes, no matter what. To get that promise. And I lied. I said two more verses. But you know, I want to make sure that I do justification and make sure that I send you guys on your way right, all right? Because that still sounds like, man, pain, right? All right, let's look at Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. This is just some extra stimulation, extra motivation, all right, talk about some things that we're doing this for. That is Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 2. All right, so this is what motivates me, all right? I think it will help you too. If you ever come to that place where you're wondering if this is doing any good, if what I'm doing is any good, if I'm on the right path, things like that, keep your mind on things that are above. I know it's simple to say, but you got to do it. I'm talking about even at work. Think about things that are above. When you're wrestling with your kids, think about things that are above. Whatever you're doing, all right, keep your mind on the things that are above. Because when you start to think about things here, yeah, you will become unmotivated. You will start to think, why do I even try, right? You will start to think like that. But we got to understand, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. His ways, higher than our ways. And as much as he says the heavens are away from the earth, so are his thoughts away from ours. So we just got to put our thoughts in the heavens. Think about the things that you are doing it for. And that will help you. That will give you extra motivations, all right? And this, I promise, is the last passage, and that's in the Philippians. Philippians chapter 3, verse 19 and 20. Philippians chapter 3. In verse 19 and 20. You know what? I'll go ahead and read 18. It says, "For many walk, of whom I told you often, and now I tell you even weeping, as the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who think about what things?" You all see that? What does it say? Who think about earthly things. Who think about earthly things. So, even if you call yourself a Christian, even if you've been baptized and you take communion every week, you give and give and give to the cause of Christ as far as the money is concerned, you can still fall into this trap if you begin to put your mind on earthly things. He says this, though. Keep on reading. He says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from where we also wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change the body of our humiliation or our humble state to be conformed to the body of his glory according to the working by which he is able even to subject all things to himself." So what am I doing all this for? And what kind of things do I think about when I'm thinking about heavenly things? Yeah, all right, some people may think about angels or little babies floating away. I see pictures of little babies, naked babies with some wings. That's not how it's going to be, all right? That's not how it's going to be. That's man's things. What I think about is my body being transformed. This humble body. The body that you're in. The body that gets sick. The body that gets colds. The body has all these weaknesses. The body's where, I mean, I love to play basketball, but after I play basketball, my body hurts. I just think about how my body will be like Christ someday. I don't even know how that's going to be, but it's crazy to think about. And I think about how there's going to be no worries, no complaints, no worrying about is the air conditioning on or is the heat on. No worries. It's just good forever and ever and ever. That's what I think about. And it keeps me strong. It keeps me hardened so that you can't do nothing to me. I'm telling you that now. I don't care if you got a gun up to my face, throw rocks at me. You can't do anything to me that's going to stop my hope from being up there. You're not going to do it. And I want every Christian to be able to get to that point where they're like, I'm not scared of death. I'm not scared of going before the sword. I'm not scared of going before the law. I got to do what I got to do. Because this life ain't nothing but a passing through. But I will be there one day with him. And that will be forever and ever. Can you just imagine that? Forever and ever and ever? You know, I have a hard time thinking about people who will perish and be just in pain forever and ever and ever. You just think about it, you're like, man, that just don't make sense. Forever? Just with no hope of anything better? Well, I think about, though, the goodness that I will receive and how that'd be forever and forever and ever. And my mind can't wrap around that. And I don't think our physical mind is meant to wrap around that. God has put limits on that. But the fact is, we can still put our minds up there because we still have our citizenship up there. And that's extra motivation to persevere, to wear that badge of honor. So the last thing I want to say is this. Wearing that badge of honor, I know y'all all wore badges before. You wear that badge of perseverance. That badge may have your name on it. You know, you wear a lot of names, but that badge is just a representation of who is on, right? It's not the perseverance. It's a representation of the perseverance that's in you. You could wear the badge, but that don't mean it's in you, right? You could have my name tag on, but that don't mean you are me, right? That's the same thing here. So I encourage you, yes, wear the badge of perseverance, but I mean wear it on the inside. Be truly a perseverer. Be truly a warrior for Christ, an athlete for Christ, a farmer for Christ. And I believe you'll be able to get down to your last time in life and say, I fought the good fight. Do what I did. You can leave it on to somebody else. Do what I did. You saw what my life was about. It wasn't perfect. Yes, I made some mistakes and I failed. But guess what? I got up. I kept on going. I know Paul was very proud of that because he was one who persecuted the church, one who just broke down the church. And then he could stand up and say, Timothy, look, if I can do it, you can do it, all right? I was worst chief of sinners, but God took me in. And even when I made my mistakes, he kept me on the path. And he will make sure that I get there. He says, I know who I trusted in. And I know that he has what I have given unto him to hold, my salvation. And we can say that too someday. Amen?
Amen.
I want to see some smiles on y'all faces, especially in the back. Y'all look like I'm saying speaking a different language. Well, anyway, I hope that makes you happy. I hope that gives you a little reason to endure. Because this life, it will not be easy. Maybe after you leave here, you're going to be going straight back to the hard fight, you know. Maybe your fight is harder than mine. I don't know. But the Lord knows. Maybe you need prayer for that. You can pray for that right now. Prayers of the righteous avail as much. It is very active in the lives of Christians when we pray and we be proactive on their benefit. So we'll pray for you, whatever your need may be. If you fell off the course, come back to him. You still have the breath of life in you, that means that he is working with you. That means he's still working with you. And you can come to him again. If you never obeyed the gospel, you need to do that today. How do you do that? You need to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sin. That means you need to turn away from yourself. I just talked about how we live for our own kingdom sometimes. Like we want to see our own kingdom built up. Well, you need to stop that and turn to be with God's kingdom. That's what repentance is about. You do a 180 turn from yourself and from your own sinful ways, and you turn to God and his kingdom. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and we baptize you today. And you will have remission of your sins, all past sins washed away. You have a clean start. You'll be put inside the body of Christ. You'll be added into the body of believers. And you have many people on the battlefield with you. You're not alone. We can do that today. Whatever your need may be, come as we stand and sing the song of invitation. I bid you to come, and I bid you to persevere.
Page 5.